Do you have a frog in your throat? When you talk to others, do they look puzzled, get a little closer, and say to you, "Again, please?" Is your voice so soft that people can't hear what you say? Are you talking less and less because it is such an effort to get out just one word? Is speaking for you one of the symptoms of Parkinson's that is a true and indelible challenge right now? Something can be done about it, and what I will do is to offer two explanations that are reasons why speaking can be a challenge. Then I will offer some imaginary fantasy scenarios that will invite you to exercise your voice without making any sounds whatsoever. This is the body work for today, then, to open up a new neural pathway in that cranial nerve, that nerve in your head that affects speech. So a true pronged approach today. Let us begin. And for those of you that do not have issues or challenges or problems with speaking, you may find this discussion interesting because, as with all discussions at Parkinson's Recovery, you very likely have not heard these arguments before anywhere from anyone. When energy work is done on what we call a throat chakra, a person who has a frog in their mouth will suddenly be able to speak with the power and force of a president of the United States or the leader of any country in the world. When I say energy healing, there are many different approaches and forms. One is called Reiki, another is called healing touch. Some people simply call themselves energy healers. And in effect, what will happen is this individual who has been trained in energy healing will, with their intention, likely using their hands, simply work with the throat chakra, which is a funnel-like physical reality that is simply spins around in the front of your throat going clockwise, and in the back of your throat there is also a throat chakra that spins directly in and hits the front chakra right at the spinal cord. My point of this is actually this, that yes, it actually is possible to alter, to open, and to nourish throat chakras using energy healing. That intervention can be surprisingly successful for a few hours or days or even weeks, but if the underlying reasons why the throat chakra is blocked remain, then all will close up eventually. What then are the reasons why the throat chakra becomes clogged and blocked? Clearly, the root reason is that cranial neural pathway is blocked and is clogged and is not functioning as it was designed to function. It can function like that. It will function like that when asked to, but for the moment, for you, that is not what is happening. So two reasons why this happens to people. The first reason turns out to be this. The reason a throat chakra may be shut down or obstructed or not functioning as it was intended to function is because a person is not speaking their truth. When in fear, let me point out, whatever that fear may be, it can be extremely dangerous to speak your truth. Think about it. Let's say that you have a job and you've been asked to do something that you know in your heart is inappropriate, perhaps even illegal, or simply unethical, or for you is not the right thing to do. It somehow is antithetical to who you are and who you want to be in the world. Yet this is your job. This is what you are required to do. You are being paid by this organization to do this work. So what's your choice? Well, many people make a rational choice to simply not speak, to not say anything, to be a team player. For you see, if you are not a team player, it will be quickly noticed and the likelihood of your being able to continue working in that organization becomes very, very unlikely. So what do most of us, or perhaps I should say all of us, do? We bite the bullet and we say, okay, I know it's wrong. I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my spouse. I'm going to tell my friends. I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I really don't want to do this. And yet, to keep the work, to keep the job, to keep the income, to keep up responsibilities for taking care of family, we continue doing what it is in our heart that we know is not the right thing to do. This means, then, in this specific example, and to be sure, there are many, many such examples I could give that are just like this, it means that we shut down the automatic tendency to speak our truth. Perhaps we have a friend who is doing something to us that is hurtful. We want to keep the friend. We've told the friend perhaps once before, perhaps years ago, that what they do in that way to you is hurtful, and yet they don't seem to listen. They don't seem to get it. So each time they do something hurtful to us, we again bite the bullet and don't say anything back to that person. We get a frog in our throat. We say to ourselves, I need to make a choice here. I need to either decide to keep this friend because I know this will irritate them when I tell them, ouch, that hurts. Or do I want to make another choice? Do I want to say, you are my friend. I need you to know what you just did hurts. I want to say, ouch, it hurts. Please don't do that again. Another alternative is to say, I'm hurting too much around this person. I decide to find other friends that don't do that to me or treat me in that way. So, you see, it makes a difference to whether or not we speak loudly and forcefully as to whether or not we are speaking our truth in the moment, moment to moment. So here I am not talking about a grand scheme of things or any great plan of finally telling a friend or a boss something that you have held back for years and years. Reasons why talking is a challenge and difficult are really moment-to-moment issues. In the moment, you are simply not expressing what you are experiencing. Another person doesn't have to be present. The reality is, when you moment-to-moment express what it is that you are feeling, either in your mind and in your thoughts or out loud, you are beginning to speak your truth. So give it a try today and tomorrow and this week, and how about for the rest of your life, when a thought comes to your mind and you think, oh, I should never say that. I am a proper person, or that's so outrageous, or that's so demented. That's not who I am. How about another way? How about however demented that thought might be, however silly, why not simply speak that thought to whoever might be there? And if there is not a person present, If you have a bird or a cat or a seagull or a raccoon nearby, why not simply express that thought to them out loud? Do you know there's the funniest thing that I just thought about? And go ahead and express that. Speak your truth. And of course, one of the truths that create the real frog in the throat for many people is they are not pursuing their life passion. They are not speaking the truth about who they really are. Perhaps you see yourself as a professional doing a professional job with a very fancy title, making a lot of money. Let's call yourself a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief. It doesn't really matter. But your perception is, hey, I'm somebody important. In my case, my title is, or at least it was, professor of a flagship university. Now, hey, that sounds pretty fancy. That's who I am. Somebody asks me, who are you? And I say, I'm a professor. And they say, oh. And of course, I used to think that meant that they were impressed, but it really meant that they're thinking, oh, you're one of those. You're one of those people who is a fly in the sky kind of guy who talks, and I never quite understand what you mean. But anyway, my thought was, no, that's a good answer. That's who I am. Let me think about it again. Perhaps I'm not really pursuing my truth of who it is and what it is I need to be in this world. Perhaps being a professor is not why I am here. What is your passion? Why are you here? Are you speaking the truth of who you are? Perhaps the truth is, who are you? And the answer is, I am a painter. Not a doctor or a lawyer or a professor. Or your answer is, I am an artist. I am a writer. I am a mother. I am a father. I am a grandmother. I am a grandfather. I am a person who loves to travel. I'm a person that likes to give to other people. That's what gives me the most joy, is in giving, not receiving, but in giving. I am a person who loves to eat good food. There are many, many truths that can be spoken that will open up that throat chakra. Are you pursuing the truth of who you are, of why you are here physically on this earth? Ask that question. What is the truth of who you are? Sink in deep to yourself. And if you can't get an answer by sinking in deep, ask your friends, ask those who love you, ask, what do you suppose is the reason I'm here? And listen to what other people tell you, because chances are it may be you've actually expressed your passion to other people in little small ways, and they can tell you what your truth is, perhaps better than being able to discover that truth within yourself. One way or another, by setting the intention of asking the question, if you don't know the answer already, it will come to you. The gift and the miracle of all of a sudden seeing the symptoms of Parkinson's can be for many, many individuals the gift of making changes in their lives that are for the better. Michael Sawyer was a Zen monk who practiced for his whole life and lived for part of his life in a monastery. Michael Sawyer was interviewed at the last year of his life, which was a long and glorious and successful life for him. The symptoms of Parkinson's were getting the best of him toward the end, and the question that was asked of Michael is, tell us recently about your life. How about the last 5 years? What has that been like for you? especially because the symptoms have become so troubling for you? Michael's answer was, as he looked at the interviewer, "The last 5 years have been the most wonderful, the most exciting of my entire life. I have never, ever been happier." Surprised, the interviewer looked at Michael and said, "Why, you are having such challenges with your mobility these days." And Michael looked back and said to that interviewer, "Oh, you don't know. I'm able now to paint all day long. That's all I do now. And painting has always been my true joy. It is what I have always wanted to do in my life. And now, you see, I do it full time, tremor and all." So that's one choice that can be made that will indeed open up that throat chakra. And that frog that's hanging out there will suddenly find another throat to attach herself or himself to. There's a second reason why it becomes difficult to talk, because that cranial nerve is not being used. Remember the core idea behind all of these arguments. Disuse is the reason why voice becomes a problem or any body function becomes a challenge. When we are not actually using something, it atrophies. It loses its effectiveness. The capacity still remains. That cranial nerve that affects voice is still physically present in our body. But because soap, which is not used, becomes hard, that cranial nerve that affects voice also is literally hardened. It becomes crimply in a physical sense. The sounds of the nerves firing become more and more silent. So how do we activate that cranial nerve that affects voice? How do we begin to wake that cranial nerve up? How do we moisten it? How do we allow it to become alive? The answer may surprise you. The answer is learning how to receive from others with grace and poise. You see, the inability to receive is directly related to the strength, the vibrancy, and the power of that throat chakra. There are organizations, very effective ones, that actually perform exercises that are voice training exercises that many individuals I interview have pursued from one organization or another with great success. There is a theme to all of these organizations, and that theme hinges on one idea. Using the voice makes a big, big difference. How can this be done? When people go to the training, there's one simple idea. Doesn't matter what the organization is or what the trainer is, there's really just one idea. Speak loudly. People think when they first start the training that they are shouting to other people. But of course, the reality is they're not shouting at all. They just think that they are shouting. So, in the training, feedback is given. The trainer will get closer and say, "I can't hear you." So, the person says, "Oh, I'll really shout now." The trainer says, "I have to get closer. I still can't hear you." And the person goes, "Oh, okay, I'm really shouting now. The trainer says, sorry, still can't hear you. And with great surprise, you think to yourself, I can't believe this. Is this person deaf? So you say with all of your might and strength, I am talking to you now. Are you deaf? And the trainer says, no, I can hear you now. Do you see? Simply through use, through using the voice, activates that cranial nerve. That's really all you need to do to be able to activate that nerve. Receiving is one way. That is very difficult and challenging for individuals. You are given a present for your birthday. What do many people do? They put it aside. Oh, I'll open up that later. Or they get embarrassed because they don't want to show any emotion whatsoever of appreciation. That's your opportunity to relish that moment. Not opening up that present in a second and thinking, well, the person doesn't want to wait for me to be able to express appreciation. They have more important things to do. But opening up that present over the period of an hour, how about that? Ribbon by ribbon, and relishing the fact that that person has given you a present, receiving the full force of the gift that has been received. That, as it turns out, actually nourishes that cranial nerve that affects voice, and actually singing in choruses. That makes a difference. One wonderful individual that I interviewed, whose name is Stan, takes walks regularly every week in his neighborhood. And when he does so, he actually sings out loud vowels. A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O-U. Notice, sometimes when we do that, we cough. We actually get the frog out of our throat when we sing in such ways. Why not sing your favorite songs or sing your A-E-I-O-U's when you take a walk? Oh, it's too embarrassing. Oh, people will think that I'm one of those crazy people. Oh, you're a person who would be a person who could never do anything like that in public. Doesn't have to be done in public, folks. You can do it in the privacy of your home. A-E-I-O-U. If you have fish or birds, they'll appreciate hearing from you. Oh, and by the way, guess what? You think you're shouting? You think you're bothering the neighbors? Well, big deal. They're bothering you, I'm sure, with their A's and E's and I's and O's and U's. Shout it out. Shout it even if you're by yourself. That actually begins to use that cranial nerve. If you're having problems motivating yourself, there are choruses, there are singing opportunities almost in every town, even in churches. Oh, that's not your religion, or you're not a religious person. Why does it matter? Choirs love to have people join them who sing. Oh, you're a person who's never sung before. That's not the point. It doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. The point is, it is time for the world to hear your voice loud and strong. So, to be able to do that means it's time for you to begin to exercise your voice. So, those are the two explanations. Let's now go into a little imaginary trip. You may be a person who has found distasteful any of the suggestions that I have just made. These are suggestions that are too difficult for many different reasons. They just can't be done. There's just not enough power in your voice to really even get started. Ah, here's the magic of this series. Truth is, you actually don't have to join a choir. Truth is, you don't actually have to go anywhere. The truth is, believe it or not, you don't actually have to physically use your voice. You can begin to activate the cranial nerve that is connected to using the voice by simply in your imagination. Using your voice with great power and effectiveness. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that an incredible discovery? Simply imagining using your voice will make a difference. It will enliven a cranial nerve that has not been used sufficiently in your life because perhaps you have not spoken your truth moment to moment, or perhaps you have been unable to openly receive the wonders and the blessings of the universe, of your family, of your loved ones, of all of those who want to give to you. You see, people with the symptoms of Parkinson's are good givers, they are good doers, and for the most part, at least the evidence I have from the many, many people I interview, they are not so good at receiving. So if those two are challenges for you, how about consider another way? How about consider the possibility that in your imagination, you can open up that cranial pathway without actually having to do anything physically? So take a breath in whatever way you want to take a breath, in and out, settle in. It's time to get out of our heads and get into our bodies and simply imagine a couple of experiences. It's your birthday today, and all of your friends and family are gathered together. This is a bit of an unusual circumstance for you because often everyone is not present just for your birthdays. Of course, birthdays come and go year after year. And if you're like me, many of us like to simply ignore them and not celebrate. After all, you are the center of attention. Everyone is aging together who are with you today. We're all on the same ship. No embarrassment about getting older because today everybody with you is one day older than yesterday. So, celebrate the reality that on this imaginary day of your next birthday, everyone is gathered together to celebrate. Everyone in your life who is important to you. You see, this is in your imagination, and so you can have present at your birthday present celebration everyone that is important, whether they live nearby or not. And guess what? Each person who has come has brought a present for you, wrapped in different wrappings with different ribbons. The presents are of different sizes, different feels, some soft, some hard, some squishy. Some presents smell, some presents don't. They are piled high on the table. There is great celebration and glee, for everyone is so happy you are alive, and everyone is so happy you are here on this earth to celebrate with. Everyone present is happy that you have made such a big difference to them. Receive their blessings now. Take in the pile of presents on the table. Each present wrapped individually by the giver. Each present purchased by the people who love you with great thought, with great anticipation, that present is something that you truly need in your life, something that you would have never asked for, something you would have never purchased yourself. And now, as you take in the excitement and the anticipation of all those who are present with you at your birthday celebration, pick up the first present that is called to you in the pile. See it now. see that present now, and begin to unwrap that present ever so slowly. The ribbon. And then the paper. Ever so slowly. And look, finally, as that wrapping is undone, to see what that present actually is. What a wonder, just exactly and precisely what you have needed all year long and never really thought about getting it for yourself. Look now to the person who gave you that very, very special present. They are in the room. Look at their smile. Receive their glee and their excitement of being able to give to you. And know that as you receive this precious gift that was given out of love, take it into your soul and your body and your heart. You give a great gift to the giver. You take it in. And you say to the person, this is such a special gift that you give to me. I thank you with all of my heart and my soul. Thank you. I receive this fully and completely as a gift from you. There are on this table now, as you see the stack of presents, a stack of presents from people. At this imaginary gathering, might I also add that the people who are present do not necessarily need to be living. These persons may be individuals who are not living in the present, not in physical bodies anyway, but they have been so thankful for what you have done for them and have never really been able to thank you. During this imaginary celebration of your birthday, they have arrived. They are present today to be able to thank you for what you have done for them. Allow all of those friends and loved ones and family members to be present to you as well in this birthday celebration, having also brought presents for you. Who is present at your birthday party today? See them, feel them, take them in. Each person is here to thank you for what you have done for them. Take in their thanks. Take in their blessings fully into your heart, into your soul, into your body. Allow yourself to be nourished by all that they are. As you speak back to them, each one, one by one, thank you. You have no idea how much your present to me today means. As you tell them forcefully, loudly, and with passion, how much you appreciate their coming to your birthday party today. Your birthday party has just begun. I invite you to allow your party to unfold in your imagination now. Throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, see all of the persons who have gathered together in the place of your imagination that you would most want to be on your next birthday. And unwrap each and every present on the table slowly, deliberately. See what each person has brought for you after giving it great consideration and thought. And once you see what that gift is, be delighted and thank the person for what they have done for you. You may see some silly gifts in there, some funny gifts in there, some outrageous or demented gifts in there, and of course other gifts that you need to be able to give yourself pleasure and joy in life. Take it all in today. In your imagination, allow this to be a fantasy that you treasure for yourself. For it's not a fantasy that you need to tell anybody else about until you are fully ready. And of course, on your next birthday, realize here it is. It's time for me to call a party for myself, so that I can receive all of the gifts and blessings and presents from those who have been a part of my life, whether living or dead. Enjoy your celebration of your birthday more than you have enjoyed any celebration in your entire life. Since you were the grand age of 1 years old. And know that the more that you practice opening up each and every present and receiving the blessing of that present from loved ones, activates that cranial nerve that affects your speaking. With each and every voice, your voice will become louder and stronger and more powerful, so that when you do talk physically to your family and your friends and those who love you, they will say, "Oh my, you're back. It's nice to see you again." Robert Rogers, this is Parkinson's Recovery, and know, by virtue of the fact you are listening to this, you are on the road to recovery.